Okay, so with my recording, one second. Yeah, okay, so we're on Daf Lamed today, so I'll begin a few lines from the top, around four lines from the top. Okay, so the Gemara has gotten through a discussion. It was really in the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned that if a Kohen has to go to the bathroom, so if he goes for if he has a bowel movement, he's got to immerse himself in the mikveh. And if he just like is passing water, then he just has to do kiddush adayim v'raglayim. So the Gemara says on line four, Amar Papa, Sovim Makomas for the Kro Kriyat Shema. This is a little bit kind of a repulsive idea, but if a person has like this fecal matter in its Makoma means like in his rear end, and so he can't recite Kriyat Shema in a situation like that. So what exactly is the case? Now, it's obviously talking about it's covered over by clothes, but if it would be visible, if you would look at the person, then the Gemara takes it obviously that the Ben Rav Papa Salakta is obvious. You can't recite Kriyat Shema that way. But if it's not visible, the Gemara says, so, we're not perfect. So Torah wasn't given to Malachim. So the Gemara says, "Lo tzrich that the yoshev only v'inanirid." So the case that Rav Papa was talking about is if he would sit down, you would see it, but if he stands up, you don't see it. So in that case, is the case that Rav Papa says, "So the makomas for the kro kriyat shema." And the situation like that, even though it's covered with clothes, you can't recite kriyat shema. So the Gemara says, "Umashnamitzua al." Now the Gemara compares this to another machloket and says, what's the difference between this case and a machloket that we're going to have in a minute? And it's going to come out, we think, according to both opinions we're about to cite, we think it would be permissible. We'll see in a minute. He says, Itmar, so al basaro, kisei. Now this is talking about a case. Let's say a person has some fecal matter on his flesh, but again, it's covered by clothes. Or his hands are extending beyond a machitza into the bathroom. So his hands are in a place that it's not supposed to be, where he's got soa al basaro. So he says, Rapuna says, under those circumstances, there's no problem reciting Kriyat Shema. Because Rav Huna, it's Gemara in Sefer Brachot, Rav Huna says the only problem is if the soa is kol haneshama talilka. The only problem is if the soa would be like on involved with like the breathing on his nose or his mouth, and we're talking about it where it's covered over and everything, but otherwise it's not a problem according to Rav Huna. Rav Chisda Amar Asur Lekro Kriyat Shema. Rav Chisda says you cannot recite Kriyat Shema. Now, even Rav Chisda who says you're not allowed to recite Kriyat Shema if you have soa on your basar, again he's got like some fecal matter on his flesh, but it's covered over with clothes, or his hands are extending to the Beit Kisei. So if you look at Rashi says this is the second arrow line. Rashi says Rav Chisda Amar Asur Mishum Kol Atzmotai Tomorrow Nevachulai. There's a pasuk that we say every Shabbos morning. Let all my limbs, recite, your praises. Who is like you? Tam Mishum Kol Atzmotai. So the whole issue is Kol Atzmotai, meaning Rav Chisda is saying that how can I recite Kriyat Shema if I have so on my flesh? But my whole body has to be able to capable of reciting praises for Hashem. Or if my hands are extending to the Beit Kisei, so it's like part of my body's in a place where I can't recite Kriyat Shema. So it's not within the rubric of Kol Atzmotai Tomorrow Hashem Yichamoka. In other words, my whole body has to be able to recite the praises for Hashem, and my whole body can't recite the praises of Hashem. But the Gemara wants to say, let's look at Rashi. About Mishum Zuman, he says, about Mishum Zuman Areya Lo, the Kashtura Papa Parvayu. So the way they put it in the arts, where they put it from the Ritva says, Rav Papa would say, though, that in this case where I stand up and I don't see it, so in that case, Rav Papa would say, not Rav Papa, Rav Chisda would say that you are allowed to say Kriyat Shema. In other words, the whole problem is Kol Atzmotai Tomorrow Hashem Yichamoka. But if you stand up and it was covered over anyway, you wouldn't see it. So even Rav Chisda would agree that you could recite Kriyat Shema. So the question is, how is it that Rav Papa says I have the soa and it's been coma? and I can't recite Kriyat Shema, but the other two opinions that we know from the Gemara Masech Brachot would each sign off on that, at least when you're standing, the way I'm saying, and say that you could recite Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara says, So Gemara says that Rav Papa could be a libet kuliyamo, or everybody else could be like Rav Papa. Rav Papa's talking about the soa is b'makoma. So b'makoma, where Rashi says, I know this sounds a little, he says it's shechamahi, it's like warm. It didn't. In other words, it's very smelly. It stinks. If it's b'makoma, that's very repulsive. So everybody could agree with Rav Papa that even so b'makoma, indeed, notwithstanding the other considerations, you can't recite Kriyat Shema. So again, it says, okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah, Yosef's got a question. I'll repeat it in 1 second. What's up, Yosef? It's only visible to the outside viewer if his clothes were taken off. In other words, if I was viewing him, I would see it. You know what I mean? So the way the Ritva is saying that, in other words, Rav Papa says that sob and koma is a surah for Kriyat Shema. Rav Papa says it doesn't make a difference if you're sitting or standing. You can't recite Kriyat Shema. That's the way Rav Papa is saying. Sitting is more definite, you can't say. But even if you're standing, you can't say. That's the way Rav Papa is saying. So the Gemara says, the way the Ritva is understanding the sugya, the Gemara says, how does that stream voice with opinions that we learn in the Sechet Barachot concerning Soa al Basaro? In other words, the Gemara likens this case to any other case if you have a person and he's got a fecal matter somewhere on his flesh. So, and again, it's covered by clothing. So the Gemara says that Rav Huna says you're allowed to recite Kriyat Shema. So that definitely doesn't go, it seems like, with Rav Papa. And Rav Chissa says you can't because the Chisaron Kolatz Motai Gemara Shemini Chamocha, that all my limbs have to be able to say your praises. But he, Rav Papa, who's more machmir, would say if you're standing, you could say Kriyat Shema because you don't see anything. But so the Gemara says that both of them could agree with Rav Papa because this case is inherently more worse because it stinks. It's like tovim and koma, so it's like more vile, more repulsive. It smells off the whole place. Okay, all right, everybody good? All right, I'm going to move on. And nice to have everybody here tonight. Okay, now. We're around, the people just came, we're around 15 lines from the top. So then anywhere else, so Rav Papa could hold like either sheet that we just quoted from the Gemara Masechet Brachot. All right. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Tana Rabbanan, Halakha Pasut, now again, this relates to, you know, passing water, urinating. Tana Rabbanan, Halacha b'su'uda, halacha, when it comes to eating a meal, adam yitzei lashtin mayim, if a person goes out to, you know, pass water, I'll say, yotel yadav achak v'nechnas. So the Gemara takes it that he's only going to dirty one hand when he's going to urinate, so he washes that hand, and then he re-enters the room. If he goes out and he gets into a whole big discussion with his friend, he says, yotel shtei yadav v'nechnas. He washes both of his hands and he comes back in. And here, the Gemara says, in other words, the concern is that he may come to eat bread when he returns to the meal. And since he had hesed chadas, he might have touched something that he shouldn't have touched. He says, "Ukshuhu no tail." So now, when he comes back, he says, "Lo yitol mi b'chutz b'kanes." He shouldn't wash his hands outside the room and then enter the room. People will suspect that he didn't wash his hands. Ella, nichnas v'yoshid b'mekomo, he enters, he sits in his place. In other words, the Gemara anticipates that the waiter, whoever's there, will give him a kli to wash his hands, and then he'll return the kli to the waiter, and it'll be done sort of in a very public fashion. And Rashi says, where is it? Yeah, it's around the 20th narrow line in Rashi. He says, the tefiach is the keli that he's using to wash his hands. The Rashi says the tefiach is the pot, the jug that he pours water on his hands. He'll offer it to the other guests. In other words, he'll give it back to the waiter, and the waiter will offer it if anybody else wants to use it. In other words, they go through a whole sort of, you know, protocol. He'll give it back to the waiter. The waiter asks, does anybody need this keli? And that's to serve as like a notification that Reuven washed his hands when he came back. Now, just 1 minute. He says, Amar Rav Chisda, lo Amar Nalushtot. Rav Chisda says, this whole halakha is that when he comes back, they would have like drinking at the meal. So they're done with the food part of the meal. Now they're up to the drinking part. So then he's got to advertise that he washed his hands, because I might think maybe he didn't wash his hands. He says, and again, he's washing the hands. Rashi brings down the next Rashi. He says, hey, let me do the next Rashi. Lo amran lo yitol b'chutz el sheino tzarich od le'efol le'shtot. In other words, they're at a point in the meal where he's not going to eat any bread. The only thing he's going to drink. Mazon is the main meal. They would have a whole thing where they'd be busy drinking. He says, he's got to wash his hands. Maybe he'll have some more bread. But most likely not. So back to the Gemara. If he's coming back to a meal where he's going to eat, so he says, no, tell me about chutz v'nichnas. Then he can wash on the outside and enter. Why? Everybody understands that, nobody would think that he's sensitive, and he would certainly wash his hands if he went to the bathroom before he eats a meal. That's the way the Gemara is taking it. He says, Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Manafi Lushtot Nami Meida Yadita Anina Datoi. He says, with me, even to drink, people know I'm sensitive. So it means like this, that there's a concern that people might think you didn't wash your hands. Then the washing of the hands is both for cleanliness and also for, you know, before eating bread, you have to wash your hands. So if he left and he went to the bathroom, and so the Gemara is saying, but they're only going to drink when he comes back, but there's a possibility he could have bread. So then he should wash his hands, and or if he's going, he's having a whole shmushprach with a friend, so he should, because he may have had hesek hadas, so you should wash his hands, but then do it in a public place so everybody realizes you wash your hands, because they might think you didn't wash your hands. But if it's a situation where you're going to eat bread, everybody understands that everybody washes their hands before they eat bread, so no chashash with that. Now, I saw in the Shulchan Aruch, it was like the fancy, in the Dirshu Mishabru, they quoted from the Kaf HaChaim. The Kaf HaChaim says today, everybody understands that people wash their hands when they go to the bathroom, so you don't have to do it in such a public fashion. All right, so the idea is that you know, if you're just going out, all right, so any questions, comments, thoughts that we did here?
Yes, how much more, I understand that hygiene today is not what it was, or the other way around, but how much of a tircha is it if you're washing one hand to wash the other?
I don't know if it's a tircha, but the Gemara is just telling you what the minimum is. The Gemara is taking it that, like, when you urinate, the Gemara is figuring one hand got dirty. Like, the Gemara learned in yesterday's daf that there's a mitzvah of shat shayv, the top line is a mitzvah to rub these droplets. So, you know, Yosef, you asked me yesterday, I have more to say after this year, but you could say the washing is like when the droplets are on the feet. Maybe it could be like that wiping, but there's another hesber, and I spoke to your Rebbe today about it. Okay, so so it doesn't have to be such a tircha, but but typically that we just, you know, dirty one hand.
Yeah. Hello?
What's taken? Wait, one second. Right. Today you don't have to do it in public. No. The Gemara said if he's going back and he's drinking, so the Gemara says then he has to do it in a public fashion. In other words, he that everybody should know that he washed his hands. There were two cases: one where he went to the bathroom, the other where he had hesek hadas, where he washed both hands. Just 1 second. Okay, so Yosef's asking me about the Braisa that we just learned. So, okay, the Braisa, the first case in the Braisa was he went out just to urinate, and so he just has to wash one hand, but the one hand that he's washing, he'll do it when he comes into the room. He'll do it in a public fashion, presumably. I assume that goes into that case as well. And the second case is he's going to wash both hands because. Oh, so let's see. I think it's going on both cases. Yeah. All right. Who's any questions, comments? Tell us further.
Okay. I wanted to.
I wanted to say
that it's brought down that they call Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rabbeinu HaKadosh. One of the reasons that they bring over there is he never touched below the belt.
All right.
How could that be possible?
I don't know. I have to see the other Gemara. I have to see the other Gemara.
But you remember that Gemara that he never touched below the belt. And the question is, how is that possible? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
You mean when you go to the bathroom? What do you mean?
Yeah.
All right. I have to see the other Gemara. Okay. All right. Is that in Ksubas? Where is that?
Brachos. I don't remember exactly. We had it.
I don't think it's in Brachos. No. Not Brachos. When Mastama, there's a section about Rebbe and then Ksubas, so it might be over.
He said that he didn't have hanah from his. He picked up his pinky.
Yeah, right. That definitely says. It says he never got hanah from anything except for his 10 fingers.
But the other thing,
I don't remember that he was called the kadosh because he didn't. But Yosef says he remembers. Okay, so let me move on. Okay, all right. So everybody mute themselves. Let's help everybody. Okay. Now, all right. So now. We're up to the next Mishnah. Okay, Manithin. Now, this is a tricky sugya. I tell you, today, I went over the daf. I thought it was going to go quickly. I spent so much time on this daf because it got very complicated. I began working on this daf like around 11:30, and I didn't finish, but there were breaks in between, till around 4 o'clock. So I wasn't learning all those 3.5 hours, but it was a good piece of it. So I'll say 2.5 hours. I don't know. All right, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, "Manitin, in adam nichnas lazara lavoda, afilu tahor ad shiyakol." A person shouldn't enter the azar. The azar is the courtyard of the base of Mekdash. Now, in our Mishnah, it says for avoda that he's coming to avoda. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says lavoda. See the first Rashi on the Mishnah around 10 lines above where it gets wide. Lav dafka. Rashi says, not literally, the Ein Adam Nichnas LaZara Shibol, the Tam of Arish B'Gemara. Rashi says that nobody should enter the Azara unless he's Tovel in a Mikvah. In other words, even though he knows he's Tahor, he was Tovel 2 weeks ago, and he knows whatever, he's in a state of Tahara, but anybody who enters the Azara, the base of Mikdash, has to be Tovel. That's what the way Rashi understands the Mishnah. Now, if you look at Tosfos, let's look at the Tosfos Ein Adam, so Tosu says it doesn't have to be the avoda the way we would understand the avoda. Tosu says it does mean, sounds like a type of avoda. It means even if he's coming to shchita, luchik will come into bayit tefila. Vafil b'lav avoda, rachshinich v'azara, v'chim ochiv v'rishlam, v'chim alosof davar l'avoda, v'chim b'shlo b'lavoda, v'chim uchil kamen kosh v'resh v'samas. Tosu says, Even not for avoda purposes. That's the way Tosos says. The Rashi and Tosos, we think, or we'll see in a minute. Let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "Chamesh tefilot basar kiddushin tovel kohen gadol umekadosh bo bayom." Now, the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur is tovel. It goes to the mikvah 5 times. So the way this works is the avoda on Yom Kippur is divided between avoda chutz and avoda pnim. Avoda chutz is the avoda he does in the Azara, the base of Mekdash, like with the Mizbeach and the Korbanon of Mizbeach. And avoda pinim is what he does in the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadashim. So he starts off the day with, and when he's avoda chutz, he's doing wearing the big day sahav, it was 8 begadim. And when he's avoda pinim, he's wearing the 4 garments, just big day abad, just the linen garments. So he starts off with avoda chutz, he goes to avoda pinim, and it was 5 times he's going to change the clothes. He starts off with the avodah chutz, then he goes, he's bringing the korban tamid, then he does the avodah pinim, then he brings like all the avodah with the Yom Kippur, then he goes back to avodah chutz, then he goes back to avodah pinim, then he goes back to avodah chutz. So the five times he changes his garments. So before each time that he changes his garments, he's tovel in the mikvah. And before he takes off garments, and after before he takes them all off, and when he puts the new garments on, he's mekadesh yadayim v'raglayim. He washes his hands and his feet. So he washes the hands and feet 10 times, and he's tovel 5 times. Tovel 5 times. You know, I don't remember exactly. I just quoted this recently. This was really from Rav Simon. This is like an aside. He was talking about the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Like, so it was one of these mefarshim saying, I understand well why he'll be tovel when he's going from the Avodah Chutz to the Avodah Pinim. He's going up a Kodesh. So he's going up in Kedusha. So he understands the tovel. But why does he have to be tovel when he's going from the Avodah Pinim to the Avodah Chutz? He was already on a high level. Why is he tovel there? So the way the Sefer was quoting is like there's regression. In other words, like it means not just for the Kohen Gadol, but in life, that even when you get to a high level, then you regress. So in other words, he went into the Kodesh Kodesh, and now he came out. Now he regressed. And now, even though it's for Avodah Chutz, now he's going to be tovel to get up to the Avodah Chutz. In other words, but anyway, so, all right, let's take a look. Now, I think Mitch Burr brings down, I think we have 10 viduyim. On Yom Kippur, we recite the vidui, I think, 10 times, and the 10 times correspond to 10 times that we do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, where the Kohen Gadol the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Okay, now, he says, so Chamesh Tefilot Ba'aser Kiddush Tovil Kohen Gadol B'Kaddish B'Yom B'Kulan B'Kodesh Al Beit HaParva. So all the immersions are in the Kodesh, which means in the Beis HaMikdash proper, on top of the chamber known as Beit HaParva. So he's on the rooftop of this, we're on Lamed Amud Aleph, 30A, 10 lines from the bottom. So he's on the rooftop of the Beit HaParva, Chutz Mizu Bavad, except for this first one is not on top of the Beit HaParva. This is going to be, I think, I saw in the Kaddish, he says Shar HaMayim, this is not necessarily in the Beis HaMikdash proper. He says, Parsu Sadin Shabut Beinod Beina'am, but they would spread like a linen cloth around him, so nobody would be able to see him when he's Tovel in the Mikvah. And then in parentheses, we have Kidesh Adav Raglav, that he would wash his hands and his feet. Some take that out because here it sounds like that the Kidesh Adav Raglav would be before he's Tovel, but really he's Tovel in the Mikvah, then he puts on his Beit Kuna, and then he's Mekadesh Adav Raglav. So that's the piece with that. Okay, any questions, comments, and thoughts on the Mishnah? Okay. Yeah, so in the Mishnah it says Kidesh Adav Raglav, that he would wash his hands and his feet. So some take that out here because he's going to be Mekadesh Adayim Raglayim after he immerses in the mikveh and he puts on his big day zahav, then it'll be Mekadesh Adayim Raglayim. All right. So now, the Gemara quotes a brisa. This is 8 lines from the bottom. Gemara, Sha'alu et ben Zoma, they ask ben Zoma, Tfila Zulama, why does the Kohen have to be Tovel if he knows that he's Tahor? In other words, we said that anyone who enters the Azara has to be Tovel, has to immerse themselves in Mikvah first, even though they know their Tahor. So why do we need that? But he says, Amar Lahem, Umah Mishanami Kodesh to Kodesh, Umakam Shanosh Karet, Umakam Shanosh Karet, Tom Tvila. So when someone said, look, if you look at the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol, he's already in the middle of the Avodah, and he goes from Avodah Chutz to Avodah Pinim. Nevertheless, he has to be Tovel. So, and he's going from one place that if you'd be a Tami person, you Chayav Karet, who's entering there, to another place if you're a Tommy person entering there, Yuchai Kare. And nevertheless, he requires Tvila Mikvah. He says, Hamashana Michola Kodesh, Makam Shanosh Kare, Makam Shanosh Kare. So, Ach Kamakami wants to say, if a person is going from Kol, from the non Kodesh place, you know, he came from Ben Yehuda Street and he's entering the Azara, he says, or from a place that he wouldn't be Chayav Kare for being in that place, for being Tamei, and he's going to a place that would be Chayav, that he's Tam Tefila. So he says, I'm a Shanami Chol HaKodesh, my Kom Shanosh Kare, in Odin, Shetam Tefila. Certainly he's Chayav Tefila. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so again, the first opinion is the Tanam Rabbi Ben Zoma. It sounds like Ben Zoma's learning a Kavach Omer. It sounds like from the Kavach Omer, the Ben Zoma says there's an obligation in a Torah to be Tovel when you will go into the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, even if you know your Tahor, because we see that with the Kohen Gadol. That's the way it sounds like, right? Right? Okay. That's the way it sounds like with Ben Zoma. Now, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Sraf Tfilahizu, Beishus Kortuma, Yishana Shabiyadu, Biyat Rosh. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's not a chiyuv in a Torah that you walk in, you know, you're not doing the avoda, the need be tovel. He says, the reason you have to be tovel is we hope that through this process of tevila, you'll think in your mind, ah, you know, I forgot, you know, I went to a funeral 10 days ago, you know, a cup for guessing, and then you remind yourself that you're really tamei, and maybe you'll take care of it, and you won't go ahead. In other words, that's a din de rabbanan. Now, let's look at the last Tosfos, and then we'll go further in the Gemara. So, umana mishanam mikosh kodesh kule, Tosfos is tamei, we know, burn knows, that's the strongest question Tosfos has, right? Burn's got it. Okay, so tamei, so Tosfos says, I can ask on this Kal v'chomer. He says, how can you, you know, he's comparing the Kohen Gadol to somebody who's entering the Azara. But the Kohen Gadol is doing Avoda. He's occupied with doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash. So what, the fact that he has to do the mikvah is the same. While Tower and Ethashal Lavoda Minayim. How do you know the person's not going to do Avoda that he has to be told on the mikvah? So Tosfos says, "V'geishlomar d'vaday a kal v'chomer enil b'tower nechlas k'dil avod." Tosfos says the kal v'chomer only works for a person who's coming in to do avod in the base of mikdash. Yeah, even though he knows he's tahor, he has to be tovel. He says, "Ela d'midrabanan gazru a pilu b'nechlas lo l'avod zeir shem yavod." So Tosfos says that on a rabbinic level, you're required to be tovel if you just walk into the azar of the base of mikdash, but the real Kal v'chomer, according to the Baal HaTos Tosfot, is for a person who's doing avoda. That's the way Tosfos learns. Now, this gets complicated. Let me just take some other shitot, and then we'll go on in the Gemara. This is from the Al Adaf. So he mentions there are several views regarding this tefillah. So Rashi says tefillah is always required entering the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi contains the word la'avoda, and the mission is not precise. La'avdavka. This position seems to be supported by the Gemara on Lamed Amud Beis, which indicates that based on our mission's halacha, Mitzvah must immerse in a mikvah before he inserts his hands into the base of the mikdash to receive the required blood and oil applications. In other words, so we see Mitzvah has to be tovel before he goes like the final step in his Tara process. So even though he went, it's going to come out, Mitzvah goes to the mikvah on the seventh day of his Tara. But then on the eighth day, when he's going to bring the korban out, he has to be tovel again because he's going to stick his thumbs and his toes over the threshold into the Beis HaMikdash. Right. So he says, so from this Tosfos deduces, tefillah is required whenever entering the Beis HaMikdash, even for non-avoda purposes. Rashi says, because Mitzvah's act of inserting his hands and having blood and oil applied to them is not an avoda, nevertheless requires immersion. That's the way Tosfos says. Now, Tosfos maintains the obligation to immerse before entering for non-avoda purposes only to Rabbanan. In a Torah, one is obligated to immerse only when entering performing an avoda. Okay, so far, so good. Now we quote Tosfos. Yeshana maintains there's no obligation to immerse when entering the Beis HaMikdash unless performing an avoda. He explains, however, that with respect to this halakha, the term avoda has a broad meaning and includes any Beis HaMikdash procedure, such as matan bahono, blood and oil application to the Sora's thumbs and shchita, even though these acts are not considered genuine avodas in the strict sense of the word. So Tosfos Yeshana is saying that in Achinami, you have to be tovel for avoda, but we're going to define avoda differently. Avoda is anything that's like related to the avoda. It doesn't have to be avoda per se. So it could be shechita, but it could also be, and the Ritva says like this is all. The Ritva says the person coming through smicha, he also has to be tovel. Anything that relates to the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. So based on that, that makes sense now that we said about the mitzvah of sticking his, in other words, the raya that Bali Tosho brought from the mitzvah that you see, it's not for an avoda. So it's also trying to say, no, when the Gemara learns avoda, it's learning it not in a strict sense, but in a broader sense. Okay, now, the Tosfos Rid maintains that there are two actions that warrant tefillah. It is required before entering the Beis HaMikdash, even for non-avoda purposes, Rashi says, and B, before starting to perform avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, even if he's already immersed earlier when he entered the Beis HaMikdash. For example, if a Kohen spent the night in the Beis HaMikdash tending to the burning of the korban on the mizbeach, he must immerse in the mikveh in the morning before starting to form the daytime avoda. So in other words, the Tosfos Rid divides it up and wants to say that if you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you have to tefillah. But it could mean that you knew you were tovel, but now you're going to begin to do avoda. So like you tovel last night, but now you have to tovel again and you start to do avoda. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything I did so far? All right, let's go further in the Gemara. We're one line from the bottom. So the Gemara said, so we quoted the machloket between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Ben Zoma, I have this Kavah Chomer from the Torah that I have to immerse in the mikvah. So it might just be when you're doing a voda, but how do we define a voda and things like that? Rashi takes it, and the Bali Tosfot that, or Rashi takes it that, you know, even if it's not a voda, you'd have to immerse yourself. But the Rabbi Yehuda says the voda is only at the bottom level, and it's just to remind you, you know, to think over what your context has been. So, but my conclusion, what's the point of two between the two, between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda? Top line on Laman Abbas. So the Gemara says, "Ba'achuli avoda kmetzadi." So the Gemara is going to reject this in 1 minute. But the Gemara says, "The machloket, or the point of dispute between them, is whether the, if they don't perform avoda, whether they desecrate the avoda that is performed." The Ben Zoma machil avoda. The Gemara thinks, according to Ben Zoma, if a kohen was not tovel, so then he desecrates the avoda. He says the Rabbi Yehuda lo machil avoda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's just gzeirah d'rabbanan that he should remember, but he doesn't desecrate the avoda if he doesn't tovel. So the Gemara says Ben Zoma mi machil. According to Ben Zoma, does he really desecrate the avoda if he is not tovel? Vatani, we learn in the Braisa, kohen gadol shlo tavel v'lo kidesh v'in beged l'beged v'in avoda l'avoda. If a kohen gadol means on Yom Kippur was not tovel, he didn't immerse himself and he didn't wash his hands and feet. Between changing the garments, between avodas pidim, avodas chutz, between avodah la'avodah, between the different avodot, avodah tok shera. So the Bryce says mafurash that his avodah is kasher. Echad kohen gadol, echad kohen adyot, shlo kidesh adav raglav shakri, vavad avodah tok psula. But whether he's a kohen gadol or a kohen adyot, and he doesn't wash his hands and feet before he begins the avodah, then the avodah is psula. But the point is, we're talking about being tovel. So here we see that even with the tevila, between the avoda on Yom Kippur, which the Torah specifically says he should do, that it doesn't desecrate the avoda. So achas kama kama, being tovel before you enter the azara, which we learned according to Ben Zoma from a kavah chomer from there, you know, would not be it's not going to be more chamor than that which we're learning from. So the Gemara rejects what? No. Again, we had the Braisa, so we had Machlokes Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. So we said, what's the point of dispute? What's the nafka mina, whether I say like Ben Zoma or I say like Rabbi Yehuda? So the Gemara wanted to say, this is not part of the Braisa. The Gemara itself is saying this now. The Gemara wanted to say the nafka mina would be that if a Kohen was not tovel when he entered the Azara, then he did a Voda. So according to Ben Zoma, the Voda would be Pasol, and according to Rabbi Yehuda would not be Pasol. And so the Gemara says, no, even according to Ben Zoma would not be possible, because you see that even on Yom Kippur, the Kohen is not Tovel, it doesn't possible the Avoda. All right, so the Gemara says on line 8, Elul may come be'esek miflugin. The Gemara says the point of this food would be, is a person subject to an essay? In other words, is he mevatel an essay in the Torah if he's not Tovel? The Ben Zoma kai be'esek. According to Ben Zoma, he is subject to an essay. And Rashi says, Rashi quotes the pasuk. If you look at the sixth narrow line in Rashi, the Ben Zoma Kaila Be'esay Mikavach Homer the Kohen Gadol Sheover B'Shaah Kidativ, and here on the corrects it Brachatz B'Mayim Ebesarol Beisham, that he's admonished to wash his flesh, which means to be tovel and to wear the garments. So according to Ben Zoma, he's Mavatel an essay. And I was learning a Kavach Homer from it, but he's Mavatel an essay. Rabbi Yehuda lo kai be'esek. Why is Rabbi Yehuda not? That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, okay, so Adkan, okay, everybody good up till now? Everybody good? Okay. So now we're 10 lines down on Laman Beis. Now, the Gemara says, umitle the Rabbi Yehuda hai svara. Now, we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds whenever a person enters the Azar the Beis HaMikdash, so on a Drabbanan level, he's mechuyev to be tovel, because we want to remind him, even though he thinks he's Tahor, but you know, maybe he thought he's Tahor in the past month and he didn't really think things through. And if he would think things through, he'd remember. So by making him go to the mikvah, we're hoping to jog his memory. Everybody has to be Tovel. Does he hold that way? Bahatanya, we learn in the Braisa, Mitzorah Tovel, Ba'omeid, Bashar Nikanur. So this is talking about the Mitzorah. Mitzorah we know is a person who is, he's Tameh, he's got this affliction in his skin, and then he's Mechutz Lamachaneh, he's outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Then when the affliction gets better, there's a whole process that the Torah describes, and he goes to the Kohen, and there's a mitzvah, take the two birds and shech one bird and so forth, and then he has to shave all the hair off his body, and then there's a 7-day process, and on the 7th day he has a whole body shave again, and he goes to the mikvah, and then on the 8th day he has to bring korbanot. So the Braisa says mitzora tovel ba'omeid b'sharni kanor. So the Tana, the Braisa says that on the 8th day, notwithstanding the fact that the Sora went to the mikvah the day before, the Sora has to go to the mikvah again, and then he'll present himself on Sharni Kanur, the Kanur gates, which is right at the entranceway to the Beis HaMikdash. He says, it means like to the Ezra's Yisrael, we can say like that. In other words, the Ezra's Nashim is not really formally part of the Beis HaMikdash. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to immerse himself because he just immersed himself yesterday afternoon. Miba Erev isn't so precise. He could have they may have immersed in the afternoon. He could have immersed in the morning, but by the night he's ready to bring the korban out. So the Gemara says, is it true that Rabbi Yehuda says you always have to be tovel before you enter the Beis HaMikdash? Here the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says the Mitzvah doesn't have to be tovel again. So the Gemara says, "Who could the Tani time?" And the Gemara says, "That's the question. The reason is the Bryce explained it. The Gemara Taval Miba Arab. He was Tovel yesterday, so he I'm stay cock. From you just say, you know, you were just Tovel, you know, 6 hours, 10 to 12 hours ago. We don't have to be Tovel again." He says, "The Gemara says, so the one who asked the question, that question, it just doesn't even seem like a question. What type of question? What was his thinking? In other words." Why was he bringing up this Braisa? And it was hopefully not for this question, because this question seems too simple. So again, we had one Braisa on Laman Amin Aleph at the bottom. Now this is the second Braisa we have here. Now we're going to have a third Braisa. He says, Mishum de Kabay Lamirma Achriti Alei. He brought up this Braisa because he wanted to ask a stira from another Braisa. Now this is Braisa number three. Braisa number three says, Lishkana Mitzorayin. So Rashi says, Lishkana Mitzorayin. Rashi says, Lama Nikrate Lishkat Mitzorayim. Why was it called? In other words, there's a chamber in the Ezra's Nashim. The Ezra's Nashim is like below the 15 steps outside Shaar Nikanor. You know, you have the high school people have the floor map based on Mikdash here, right? So if you look at your floor map, if you like, in the floor map, so if you take the picture in the art scroll, so the Lishkat Mitzorayim is number 12. You see in the picture book in the art scroll if you have it, okay. So can you all see anyway? So here's the picture book for the people who don't have it. I'm holding it up, but you see number 12. It should be in the upper left hand portion of your screen. And then here's the bigger picture. Anyway, you got it. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says. Okay, he says, Lishkat HaMitzorayim, why was it called Lishkat HaMitzorayim, the chamber of Mitzorayim? You know, obviously, no Mitzorah is ever going to enter the Beis HaMikdash. He can't even enter Yerushalayim. So he says, Shasham Mitzorayim Tovel. That's where Mitzorayim, they Tovel, there was a mikvah in that Lishka, and they would Tovel on the day, on the 8th day, when they're ready to bring their korbanot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Matana Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Mitzorayim Bilvad Amru, not only Mitzorayim would be Tovel, everybody would be Tovel. So everybody would be Tovel there. Okay, welcome. We have a Gemara for you, Yosef, all in the back in the corner. Can you see it? Perfect. Okay, welcome. So we're on Lamed Amud Beis, around midway down the column. Okay, Lamed Amud Beis, page 60. Okay. Welcome. Okay. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lomitz from Bavadam Ruela Koladam. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says not only Mitzorayim would be Tovel, but everybody. So now we have a stira, right? In the Braisa that we did 8 lines ago, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Eino Tzarech Tevila, that a Mitzorah doesn't have to be Tovel, because it was just Tovel on day 7. And in this Braisa, he says, a Mitzorah does have to be Tovel. So that's what he wanted to ask. We have a stira within the sheet to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. How do we resolve the stira? So the Gemara says, lo kasha. There's no contradiction between the two braises. Had the tavil, had lo tavil. So the Gemara thinks that the earlier brace that says he was tovel yesterday, fine, if he was tovel yesterday, he doesn't have to do it again. Had lo tavil. This brace, we think, he was not Tovil yesterday. So the Gemara says, Idlo Tavil, if he wasn't Tovil yesterday, he's going to have to wait another day. In other words, the process is, you're Tovel on the seventh day. If you're not Tovel on the seventh day, you do it on the next day, whatever. But then you have to wait till nightfall, and the next day bring the korbanot. So if he wasn't Tovel, he can't go up to Sharni Kanor and stick his thumbs in the whole thing. So that answer is going by the wayside. Ela Edi to Edi the Tavil. So the Gemara says in both Bryces, the Mitzorah had gone to the mikvah on day seven. Had asataite, halo asataite. We think in one case, the latter brisa, the third brisa, he had hesek hadas. In other words, he was tovel yesterday, but he didn't focus on what he was doing afterwards. In the earlier brisa, he was focused and he knows he was very careful. So the Gemara says asataite, if he doesn't know what he was doing, has actually shishvi bai. He has to do hazaa with the Eper Parah. In other words, he may have gone to come into Oel Amein if he doesn't know what he's doing. The Amar of Dostai, Bar Matan, Amar of Yochanan, has the Hadat, Yerich Hazar, Shlish Yishri, that then he'd have to do Hazar with the Eper the Parah. So again, we have the Sira between the two Brises. In one Brisa, Rabbi Huda says, Sora does not have to be Tovel on day eight. And the other Brisa, he says that he does have to be Tovel on day eight. So the Gemara says, we're 15 lines from the bottom. Ela idi idi below asataite. So the Gemara says, no. In both cases, he was Tovel. In both cases, on day seven. In both cases, he did not have Hesek Hadas. He was focused on it. Below Kasha. There's no contradiction between the two Brises. Hadatavil aldat biyat mikdash. The earlier Brise is saying, at the time he was Tovel with intent to enter the Beis HaMikdash. Not just Tovel Patara, with the intent to enter or to stick his thumbs into the Beis HaMikdash. The second Brisa is the where he was not Tovel that intent. So there's a Mishnah in Masechta Chagiga that says to enter the Beis HaMikdash, you have to be Tovel with intent to enter the Beis HaMikdash. So that's one way to explain the two Brises. Okay, that's the first answer. Now, answer number two. The Ibai Ema, or else I could say, Tani, Lo Mitzar Namru, Ela Kol Adam. In other words, in the last Brisa, we have Rabbi Yehuda says Lo Mitzora in Dovaramru, not only Mitzora Im Ela Kol Adam. So the second answer is saying Tani Lo Mitzora Namru, not Mitzora in Dovad. It was they never said that the Mitzora has to be Tovel. He says Ela Kol Adam, like a regular person has to be Tovel, not Mitzorai. So then I don't have any Stira. It was men. We should understand the Brises if it read that way. Okay, so that's two answers we gave. Everybody good so far? Okay, so moving on. Now, answer number three. Ravina Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Debrayim Derabbanan Ta'amar Lahu. Now, so Ravina is saying we're going to leave the Brisa the way it is. The last Brisa. So the last Brisa said that Rabbi Yehuda said, Lo Mitzorim Bilvadam Ruel Kol Adam. Not only Mitzorim, but everybody has to be Tovel. So he was speaking with the Brahim the Rabbanan Kamar Lahu. The Didi, Mitzorim Sirith Tavila. As far as I'm concerned, Rabbi Huda, I hold that a Mitzorah does not require to be in a mikvah because he was just Tovel on day seven. He doesn't require to be Tovel on day eight. We did who, but according to you, now it's going to come out these Chachamim are not going to be the same as Ben Zoma or Rabbi Huda in the first Brisa. It's a new opinion. We'll see. He said, we did who. Now, again, the Tanakhama says, Shisham Mitzorin Tovel, the Mitzorin have to be Tovel. So the did who, Odali Yizei Mihat, Lo Mitzorin Bavadam Ru, Ela Kol Adam. Whereas you should concede to me that the people who have to be Tovel are not just Mitzorayim, but anybody who enters the Beis HaMikdash has to be Tovel. In other words, the Tanakhama of this third Brisa holds the only people who have to be Tovel before they enter the Azara is our Mitzorayim. To which Rabbi Yehuda says, you should concede to me that everybody has to be Tovel. He says, Rabbanan, the Chachamim hold, Mitzorah Daish Betumah. The Chachamim hold, Mitzorah is in a much worse situation. He's steeped in Tumah. In other words, he's so Tame, you know, so let's look at Rashi. Daish Betumah, 8 lines to the bottom. Otat Tumah, Hurgal Shavli Dabetumah. In other words, he's like, it's like, you know, he felt like trafed up, so to speak. So he's habituated to Tuma, so we don't know what Tuma he's been touching and doing and things like that. So we have to be more on his case to make sure he's Tovel. Call Adam lo daishi betuma. People are not so into the Tuma, okay? So the way we're explaining it now, this sheet to the Chachamim is a new Shita. They're just saying only Mitzrayim have to be Tovel before they enter the Azara, the base of Mikdash. Okay, now let me go in for the kill and then I'll pause in a minute. Oh, okay, Yosef has a question. All right. Okay, so the third answer is the third Brisa, so we're going to leave it the way it is in terms of the text. The Tanakhama says that Mitzrayim have to be Tovel. That's why it's called Lishma Mitzrayim. And Rabbi Yehuda says not just Mitzrayim, but everybody has to be Tovel. So the Gemara says, okay, wait, let me see Yosef, then I'll come to you. Okay, this isn't like free for all. Okay, so now so the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Lashitato holds that Mitzorah does not have to be Tovel. He holds that Mitzorah doesn't have to be Tovel because it was Tovel day 7. Right? Yeah, in the third Brisa he says he does. So the Gemara is saying Rabbi Yehuda is speaking within the sheet of the Chachamim. As far as I'm concerned, the Mitzorah does not have to. But according to your opinion that he does have to, so you should subscribe to the idea that everybody should have to do it, which is what I say as well. And they say no, that the Mitzorah, because he's been so habituated in Tuma, therefore we want to say only Mitzorah, not anybody else. But that's a new sheet of the Chacham, and we haven't had the sheet up from now. What's up?
A little person who slept from it, but he went to Mikveh at night. The next day he wants to enter the Mitzvah. That according to so the new.
Okay, we said that you have to be Tovel that day. Okay, so you have to be Tovel that day. It's Talui with all the Shita that we learned. But if you hold it, let me put this on the side. And then I'll wait. It came in the middle of the sugya. It's a little difficult, they'll say. But hold off for 1 minute, okay? So now, the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye the Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, Nima Rabbana de Pligilei the Rabbi Yehuda, Ben Zomas Shir Bahu. So he says, should we say the Chachamim who are Mechulak and Rabbi Yehuda in the second Brisa hold like Ben Zoma? Now, the second Brisa was around the 10th line down. It's sort of Tovel Omi B'Sharni Kanor. So it has to be Tovel B'Sharni Kanor. So he says, so Abai says Rabbi Yosef, should we say the Chachamim in Brisa number 2, they hold like Ben Zoma, that everyone has to be Tovel? He says, behind the time Mitzorah Lediyacha Kochud Rabbi Yehuda, the reason they mention the Mitzorah is just to teach the point of dispute that they have with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds Mitzorah does not have to be Tovel. So therefore, in other words, in the second Brisa, which is on line 10, which is one line above the Dalet, Mitzorah Tovel Va'omeid B'Shar Nikanor. If I'm saying Mitzorah has to be Tovel and stand B'Shar Nikanor. Do those Chachamim, do they agree with Ben Zoma that everybody has to be Tovel? And the reason they mention the Mitzorah is just to set up the point of dispute with Tana Rebbe Yehuda, he owes Mitzorah not. Dilma Shani Mitzorah Zayish Betuma. Or perhaps those Chachamim agree with the Chachamim in the third Brisa. And they hold that a Mitzorah is like in a poisonous state because he's so steep with Tuma. So Amalei Shani Mitzorah Zayish Betuma. So he says, in Achinami, those Chachamim are linked up with these Chachamim. So it comes out in the end, the Gemara has like three opinions about being Tovel before you enter the base of Mikdash. And then within the Rishonim, you have even more opinions with understanding them. So we had Ben Zoma, learnt the Kal V'Chomer, that anybody who, it depends on how you learn this, anybody who enters the Azara or enters the Azara to Avoda has to be Tovel. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda says people have to be Tovel only to remind them what their history was. But if you were Tovel the day before, you don't need to do it. And then we have these Chachamim, the last two Brises, and they hold only the Mitzorah has to be Tovel, and nobody else. In other words, everybody has to know they're a state of Tara, but only Mitzorah B'Dafka has to be Tovel. All right, I have 60 seconds for you now. Yosef Magrefta, what do you want to say?
It seems to me that according to the Chachamim, there are two stages. Number one, getting out of Tuma. Number two, getting permission to enter the Azara.
Which Chachamim, which Brisa were you talking about? Okay, so the Gemara ends up saying that the Chachamim in the second brayse, the Maskan of the Gemara is when they said Mitzorah Tovel Va'Omeid B'Sharni Kanor, they hold that only the Mitzorah is obligated to be Tovel. In other words, everybody agrees the Mitzorah went to the Mikvah on day 7. Now it's day 8. Does he need to go in the Mikvah? These Chachamim hold that the Mitzorah has to go to the Mikvah. Nobody else has to go to the Mikvah. Because the Mitzorah has been so habituated with Tuma, we're afraid that maybe he touched more Tuma, whatever. Anybody else, he says he's Tahor, he's good. Okay? All right, let me move on. I want to make sure I finish the daf, and then we'll call it a day. Any other questions from this cyber field, from the cyber field space? Okay, well, let me go further. All right, now, we're 2 lines from the bottom on Lamed Amud Beis. So, Amar Le Abaye to Rav Yosef. Abai says, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda Damar Shrach Tfilah Hizu. Now, according to the Tan Rav Yehuda, he says the whole purpose of making the person go to the mikveh is just to remind him whether he was tamei on a previous occasion. In other words, he, as far as he knows, he's tahor. He's been tahor for the last month. He says he remembers he went to this funeral, he had the hazav with the aper para, and then he went to the mikveh, he's tahor. He's been tahor for the past month. Now he enters the base of mikdash. Rabbi says he's got to be tovel again to remind him in case maybe he's forgetting something. Maybe he forgot the funeral he went to 2 weeks ago. So he says here, according to that, so he says, So is he concerned with chatzita? When he goes to mikveh, the whole purpose of going to mikveh is only drabanan, to remind him on his past history. So do I have to worry about a chatzita from that type of immersion? So he says, Amalei, called the tikkun rabanan came to write tikkun. He says, whenever the chachamim establish something, so they model it on the Torah. So on the Torah level, the chatzita is like an interruption between his skin and the water. So he has to be concerned about it. If you look at Rashi, Chotzeis, and we know Chotzeis, the Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lei Shrach Tfila Ba'almagi, Pasal B'Chatzitz Shar Tfila. Do I say Chatzitz will pasal the immersion of the mikvah? Odilma came into Ein Ba El Haskirola Tuma Yishana below the Tahir Ba Iba. He says maybe I'll say that since the whole purpose is just to remind him, it's not really coming for Torah purposes. Lo Pasal B'Chatzitz, not to worry about the Chatzitz. All right, now on the second line on Lamed Aleph from Lamed Aleph. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef. And again, Abaye was Rav Yosef's Talmud. Rav Yosef forgot his learning. Abaye restored his learning to him. So Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, Bia b'miksa shma bia olo, is entering partially, is, let's say a person is only putting his arm into the Azar of the base of Mikdash. Does he have to be Tovel for that or not? So he says, Amalei b'honot yochichu. So Rav Yosef said, you'll see from the Mitzorah, the Mitzorah just sticks his thumbs into the base of Mikdash. He says, "Behold, Yochifu, Shehin Biyah B'Mikdash." That's a partial entry. B'Tanya Mitzorah Tovel V'Omei B'Sharni Kanor. Says the Mitzorah has to be Tovel with the Biyah B'Mikdash. So, there's some people I think at the Kotel they're B'Davka Machmir not to stick their fingers or anything into the wall, into the cracks of the wall, because they're afraid about Bia B'Mikdash. In other words, they're afraid that it's like the Azar, the base of Mikdash, and they don't want to like stick their fingers into the cracks. All right. But whatever it is, what is changing when he's sticking the finger in? Something's changing that requires him to go to the mikvah. So what's changing when he's sticking the finger in? That's because he's entering the Azara. That's why he's doing it. In other words, whatever the status is, it's because he's sticking the finger in. And that's the entry. Okay, let me just see if I have one or two things that I'll call a day. Okay, I think I'm going to call it a day. Okay, so let me end the recording. Let me end the recording.